Good evening, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Positude Podcast. I am your host, Maggie Hart, looking forward to spending another week with you, sharing some positive stories, hopefully learning some new things, negating negativity in your life, and just enjoying each other's company. So grab yourself something good to drink and get really comfortable on your favorite couch or chair or lying on your bed or just on the floor, whatever feels good and comfortable and peaceful for you, and let's get started with this week. We've been researching different ways to help yourself heal and help to heal others using natural techniques. We've broached some psychological techniques on how to help you be a better person. We'll continue to talk about those things as we move forward. Last week we talked about different things that can help you to purify energies and toxins in your home and environment. Different products that you could buy, machines and things to protect you from 5G. And we talked about some of the benefits of healing crystals and what they can do for you. And aside from the fact they're just pretty rocks to have around the house, I love them just because they're pretty rocks to have around the house. Getting started, I'm using a different mic this week. I have used this one intermittently. It's not my favorite, gotta admit, but the one that I love to use and that works really well for me just doesn't want to cooperate this week. So in conjunction with that, and also the fact that my allergies have been going nuts, as much as I self-heal and as much as I work on myself, I'm still, my head is just extremely sinusy and filled this week. Sinusy and filled. Did that even make sense? Well, my sinuses are acting up and my head is really filled right now. Just the allergens and the pollens. And I haven't stopped to take the time, admittedly, to do the work that I need to do on my body the last couple of days. So I'm sounding a little bit nasally and I apologize for that, more so than usual because it's been an ongoing thing for a while. It seems like I go right from one seasonal allergy to an environmental allergy. And even though in the course of my self-healing it's gotten so much better than it used to be, it's still something that I struggle with. And I just feel that part of being real and somebody that is approachable and somebody that you want to talk to and have a conversation with, or somebody that you can identify with, is that person that is readily able to admit that they struggle with some things too. Everything's not always perfect in their life. They're learning, they're growing just as you are. And I just feel as though it makes me more identifiable to you, the listener. And hopefully there are some things that maybe ping with you and you could say to yourself, well, wow, I'm in that exact same situation, or I've been there before. I can identify with that. It's what kind of binds us all together. It helps us to identify with and understand each other, our commonalities that we share. And I see so many healers today and so many people on social media that are just, I am so far above you and I'm going to teach you everything you need to know and I am just perfect and enlightened. That's the persona they want to represent. And that in itself is, to me, a huge red flag, because nobody is that perfect. Nobody. You know, and we all learned from somewhere. We didn't just hatch out of the egg, as my family says, and be enlightened and perfect, or close to perfect. At least very, very few, if any, of us have. So, yeah, you know, talking about just everyday things and struggles and occurrences and, you know, what's going on with your body, what's going on with mine. And then another thing is, by sharing my frustration at times with this whole allergic sinus thing, and you can identify with that as well, maybe, sort of indirectly, maybe, no, definitely, trying to bring awareness to the fact that I'm having a lot more issues now than I ever did before. I'm fully convinced that it's because of what is being put into our skies and what is being put into our air. it's amazing to me that I've talked to so many people that have never had allergies or have had seasonal allergies their whole lives, and it's just getting increasingly worse. It seems like the allergy seasons seem to be stretching longer. In essence, they're really not allergy seasons per se. They're because of what's being sprayed into the environment. Not just our typical seasonal environmental stuff, but stuff that's being man-made and created and put out there to make us sick. And so here again, I will definitely tout the miracle abilities of local organic honey. I've talked about this for years on my shows. Also, apple cider vinegar. I take my elderberry syrup every day. And I have not really talked about this, but this is something that I've wanted to talk about for a while. I don't know that I've mentioned it on my shows, actually, is collagen. Collagen is a great supplement, I feel, and I put it in shakes or I put it in juice. So I'll take a little bit of cranberry apple juice and I'll put a scoop in and then I'll stir it really well. And it is something that's hard to stir into a drink, admittedly. And you will get little clumps in there, at least I do. But another thing I like to do is put them in a shake in the morning or midday. And so I'll take my banana and my yogurt and my milk or whatever I want to put in there. Or sometimes I'll just do a smoothie shake with cucumbers and whatever, and whenever I feel like that particular day, throw a scoop of collagen in there and drink it down. And I have noticed an incredible difference when I take it regularly, because I've had it for several years, but I hadn't been taking it regularly. My hair, my skin, my nails, I feel a lot better, and it seems as though my joints feel better. And not that I had issues per se with my joints before, but I was starting to get some stiffness in my wrists and things like that, and I think it was just because of the dampness in the air. I'm getting a little older, and so that's definitely, I feel, helped with the joint issues. So if you're able to, find yourself a good quality collagen product. I don't know if it comes in pill forms, but I use the powder, and I'm finding really great results with it. So try it. It is kind of expensive, I guess. I get it through my chiropractor. I think it's like $55 for the jar. The brand that I prefer, the brand that I use, is Ancient Nutrition, and it does come in flavors. I think it comes in chocolate. I know it comes in vanilla, and it comes in plain. I absolutely love the vanilla if I'm not going to mix it with a really sweet juice. So when I mix the vanilla with cranberry apple juice, what I find is it's really good, but it's super sweet. It's like almost too sweet for me. So what I prefer is if I'm going to do the cranberry apple to go with the original formula. But if I'm doing like a shake and I want a little bit of a kick and a little bit of flavor, the vanilla is awesome for that. And like I said, I think they have chocolate. I just have not tried that one yet. But I love that product. But shop around and find out what's best for you, best for your budget, which you like better, because other companies might have different flavors that you prefer. I would absolutely recommend it. It's my belief that there are heavy metals that are being sprayed into the air, as well as other things. I'm not the only one to have that opinion, and I've often wondered, because of some of the joint issues that I've been having that I wouldn't normally have, and actually, I don't know if anybody else has experienced that hasn't taken the jab. Let me clarify. Sometimes an almost metallic taste in their mouth as well. And I've wondered where that has come from. And it's fleeting. It's not very often, but I have had it before. And I'm also thinking that is as a result of what's being sprayed. So the collagen, since it helps with joint issues, I think is helping to alleviate some of the symptoms that, yes, I may have as a result of getting older, but my intuition tells me there's a little more to that that's going on, and the collagen does seem to help that. Also, bananas, potassium, and there are different, we've talked about this before, but there are different cleanses that you can do and things that you can drink that will help to eradicate bad metals from your system. We do talk, and we will talk more about that, but please research it on your own. Do your homework. Find effective, holistic cures for things like heavy metal toxins in the system, because it's, I feel, absolutely happening, and the collagen has helped me as a result, and I'm just not convinced that this is all due to my age, but it seemed to start happening pretty rapidly after the spring when they started spraying the skies. So please do your research. There are many herbs out there. There are herbal baths that you can take, Yuletine borax and bentonite clay and Epsom salt. Baths can also help. Many vitamins and supplements. Do your research. It's really important, folks, that we stay on top of this now. It's a whole different world. I touched on this briefly last week, but whatever is thrown up against us, we need to have the discernment and the free will to integrate different holistic healing methodologies and herbs and oils and all of that into our routines to combat these things. And Source, Father, Universe, all of the things pretty much that I recommend are a product of the earth in some way, shape, or form, whether it be an oil, an herb, a rock, whatever. Sound healing, these are all things that have been provided to us, I believe, for these times, especially to be able to combat the evil that's being placed out before us. So please look into different methods. Maybe if you thought they were too woo-woo before, or you don't want to incorporate a whole entire holistic healing method into your daily routine at this time, try one thing. Take one thing, whether it be sound healing, whether it be herbs, or a bath, or an oil, and just try one thing at a time and see what works for you. You may find that you resonate more with one type of treatment than another. And aromatherapy is extremely powerful as far as quieting the mind, relaxing the mind. I use oils all the time for anti-stress, anxiety, to calm, to purify the air from germs. It helps my family, it helps my loved ones, it helps even my pets, depending on what it is, to relax and to feel more secure and to just eradicate the germs from the air, depending on what I'm using and what I'm using it for. There are so many things out there that we can utilize that aren't very expensive in nature, but are absolutely effective against these things, or at least as effective as we can be. And every little bit helps. Talking about sound healing, we broached on it a little bit in previous episodes. I did the tuning forks one time, and last week we talked a little bit about it. But one thing that I'd like everybody to be aware of, and this is something that, because of my birthright, because of my genetics and my heritage, my family are very loud speakers. That's just how we are. We're very vivacious people. We talk with our hands. We get excited. We talk fast. We talk louder. You've heard these timbres and pitches for years throughout my shows. And I'm sure if I hadn't already told you, you could put it together. Well, she's an Italian. And so, she's also got the Celtic on the other side. So they're very passionate people. And they speak loudly when they get excited and all of that. And one thing that was brought to my attention a few weeks ago is, I know that I have a very strong energy, and I don't think that that's being egotistical when I say that. It's a fact. My energy is incredibly strong. And what I didn't really realize, or what people actually have been telling me over the years, but what I didn't fully comprehend until recently, is that when I speak and I'm upset about a situation, the energy that I exude, for people that are sensitive, that are empathic, our energies all affect each other. We are all ripples in a pond. We are all interconnected. I've said this for years, but I guess I really wasn't aware of how strong my energy was to a particularly empathic set of individuals. And my daughter has told me this over the years. Loved ones have told me over the years, why are you so angry? I'm not angry at you. I'm angry at the situation, or I'm frustrated at the situation. But as I was retelling a story, my energy does seep through into those stories. And as a result, people who are more sensitive than others would almost be repelled by that. Why are you angry at me? Or I'm feeling that energy and it feels negative. And that was something that I really needed to work on. And I wasn't entirely aware of, because I just didn't realize how forceful my energy was at times. And so that got me thinking again about sound therapy and different ways to heal with sound. And we've talked about how it's my belief that a lot of this technology has been lost and hidden from us. And I started to think about different cultures, and pretty much all of them that I can think of use sound healing in their quests to become more enlightened, as a form of healing, as a form of protection from things like witchcraft and other forms of evil. I think about Buddhist chants. I think about the sound technology that I believed helped to build the pyramids. I think about the sound technology. I think about Tesla's work. I think about Native Americans. I've had my close friend that was a chief that passed, and some of the practices that he followed, and the chanting and the singing and the energy that that brought, and that there were different chants and songs and vibrational sounds that they made with their lips and their tongue that helped to exemplify the energy they wanted to create, whether it be a protective energy or a healing energy or even just a happy, joyful chanting energy. And I don't know if anybody's ever read The Wind Is My Mother by Bear Hart, but if you haven't, I love Native American books, and his book is amazing. It's the life and teachings of a Native American shaman. And in his book, he talks about the person that's teaching him, making him swallow a stone as part of his training and making him go stand in a river and basically seeing what came to him. And he had a vision of a snake that gave him a song. And the teacher asked him, you know, what was the song? Sing it. So he sang the song, and the teacher said to him, that snake gave you a song that you will be able to use in court situations. You can use it to fix tobacco to help our people be treated fairly. Later on in the book, he talks about his nephew, I believe, has a court case, and he uses the tobacco and this song. And also an invisibility thing. He, and it's mind over matter. He talks about how he's not really invisible, but he wants to go sit in the courtroom and he doesn't want to be noticed. So he does a chant or something that makes him appear invisible, i.e. people don't notice him when he's walking down the street, or, you know, when he was in the courtroom, nobody noticed him there, even though he was physically there. And that's something that's actually very effective. I've done that many times myself. When I go somewhere and don't want to be recognized, there's something that I do that makes me not physically invisible, but people don't notice me. I can slip in and out of a place without being seen, and people just don't seem to notice that I'm there, even though I'm physically there. So he did the same thing in the courtroom, and the chant that he did and his tobacco ritual that he did before the court worked. His nephew was pretty much gotten off. And he talks about different chants that and tests that he had to do to be open to receive, receive the power of the songs. And he says, some are so powerful that sometimes no herb is needed to fix an earache, all we do is say a chant and blow on that ear. If someone cuts himself and is bleeding and can't get to a doctor for a tetanus shot, I take dirt, fix it with a chant, and put the dirt on the cut. First, the pain goes away, and then the bleeding stops, and there will not be any infection. And he talks about many, many instances of his training in the book. And while they may not be parallel to Christian or universal or whatever beliefs, because there are tobacco rituals and things like that involved, that's their way. That's how they learn to heal and learn to help people. And different tribes have different methodologies also, but the chanting and the singing is something that's not only universal to Native Americans, but also to pretty much every culture that I've studied. Amazingly enough, he also talks about fasting to receive a chant. During that time of fasting, the creator might reveal a chant or where to find a particular herb and give instruction on how to use it for treating different types of illnesses. So also another parallel to our spirituality, the fasting to get information, the fasting to learn things, just like we do in spiritual warfare and in healing work. Talks about having fasted as long as 7 days and how some of the old people stayed for 14 days without food or water in order to get these teachings, this information to come to them. And that's also in parallel with what I've learned about with Jesus and the Essenes in the Essene Gospels. They talk about the fasting and the prayer, as well as so many other cultures, Buddhism. I could go on and on. He talks about how his teacher had him sing this song, the snake song, and actually had him walk through a legit rattlesnake den. And then he made him go up and touch the rattlesnake, tap the rattlesnake 4 times on its head, the grandfather of the snakes, which, singing the song, he said, put the snakes into a trance so that he was able, even though he heard the rattling of the tails, even though he saw them rearing up their heads, mouths open, the song enchanted them to not attack him so that he was able to traverse their territory, go right through the rattlesnake den and approach his teacher on the other side unscathed. And then his teacher said, turn around and go tap that one, that's the grandfather, tap his head 4 times and then come back to me. And according to the grandfather, tapping the rattlesnake on the head 4 times released, in essence, the spell so that they could go back to their snakely activities. Wasn't an easy feat. He was singing his heart out. You know, he had all of his energy into the song that he was singing. And the energy that he created from the forcefulness of the singing and very possibly the words or the sounds that were probably the words that were used in the sounds and the chants that he was eliciting worked. Just like the Bible talks about the power of the word. This is all related through all cultures, and it's so cool for me. I love to be able to share this with you because I get so excited when I think about the potential, not only from personal experiences that I've had with the power of sound healing and vibration, but all of the other stories from all of the other cultures that have just such amazing information to share about their experiences with sound energy, sound healing, vibration. So going back to what I was saying before about my personal experiences and my tone of voice and how I get excited, and when I'm happy, everybody knows I'm happy. What I didn't really fully comprehend was because I was telling a story in an excited tone of voice and expressing my discontent at the situation, other people were feeling that energy and it was blowback. And, you know, like I said, in retrospect, I've been hearing that for years, but I never really grasped how strong it was before. And so that set me on this journey, as I started to say earlier, about sound healing and talking about sound. And one thing that I do know is that my tone of voice, I've been told for years on the radio that I have a really good radio voice and that I'm very pleasant to listen to, and I've been told that I have a really hot radio voice by a lot of fans over the years. I don't know that I agree with that, but something about the tone of my voice when I'm speaking slowly in a calm tone of voice, it just, I guess my voice gets deeper or lower and it's soothing. And that's where I was going with this, is I know that we can also heal to a degree with our voices. So if we're talking to someone on the phone or we're doing a meditation live like I used to do on my shows, and we'll get back to that again, the power of the voice and the way that you express your voice absolutely has healing power as well. And think about not only the energetic, loving vibrations that come from a mother holding a baby, a newborn baby, or a mom or a dad holding their sick child, or just simply the love and the energy that's shared in the embrace of a hug for somebody that needs that particular energy at that time. When we also couple that with the soothing sounds from someone, i.e. a parent with a child, and how many years and centuries did mom sit in rocking chairs singing to their children to soothe them? There's absolutely power in the sound of the voice to be able to heal. And that's a tool that we can use that costs virtually nothing and is so simple. All you need to do is slow down the pitch of your voice and lower your volume and speak in somewhat of a soothing tone. For me, it does tend to happen naturally because of my emotions, because I'm naturally just a passionate person. When I'm feeling loving and kind and soft, my voice just tends to get more soft and more soothing. Also, though, when I'm doing healing work, if it's not a deliverance situation, if it's not something that I'm trying to help oust negative energy from an individual, when I'm doing healing work, my voice just naturally drops lower and gets softer and more soothing. And it's just something that has been inherently in me. And I believe it's probably inherent in women just because, you know, the DNA is there for centuries that women were the soothers, women were the healers. In Native American culture, some women were the heads of tribes. Women just have that soothing quality about them naturally. Most of them do. Not all of them, but most of them do. So it's probably something that's just in my DNA, or maybe in my bloodline, or maybe both. But at any rate, men also have the capacity and the ability to use their voices to heal. And while some people naturally have more of what's called a radio voice, and some people may be just louder, those same people, when they lower their voice and talk more softly and slowly, also can have those healing effects on others and those soothing qualities on those that they love and care about. Even if you're trying to diffuse a situation, an argument, when you lower your voice and speak softly but firmly, if there's an instance where someone is just becoming more and more elevated and screaming, if you kind of just take your pitch down and speak slower and more firmly and softer, inevitably that person will bring down their voice and match you. It may not be entirely matched, but it will happen. Try it and see. Saying things like, "I'm talking, you'll have your chance in a minute," or "I'm talking, I hear you, you'll get your turn," or when they're, you know, going off and getting excited, if you just stop and lower your voice and talk slower and but be forceful. You know, don't give up your stance. Let them know that you're not a pushover, and say things like, I can't hear you when you're talking over me, or I can't hear you when you're yelling and I'm speaking. Things like that will help to break the cycle and help to bring them back to balance and gain better control of the situation. So in that case, it's a combination of the words that we use as well as the tone and the sound of our voice. And that brings me to the power of words. Every culture, it seems, knows that different sounds and different words create different results. And these cultures have learned to utilize those sounds and those words to either heal or change a situation or change the energies to obtain what it is that they desire. Some cultures tend to use these sounds with physical responses as well. In other words, for instance, in the book The Wind Is My Mother, he's talking about how if a child had a stomach ache, his mother would sing a little chant and thump the child's belly 4 times and the ache would go away. So the power of touch in coordination with a sound, in some cases, is more effective in a healing process, let's say. Bear Hart also talked about an instance where he had a business associate that had an earache, and so he chanted and blew into her ear, and the pain was alleviated. If we incorporate more senses, in my opinion, the healing can sometimes be even more effective. For instance, when I'm doing work, to also utilize essential oils or an incense, and there's only one incense that I really use. It's got frankincense in it and myrrh and wood shavings. But using different smells, as well as the sound of our voice, as well as the power of our healing touch, utilizing those senses. So you're hearing, you're feeling, and you're smelling. That, to me, is also a more even effective form of healing because we're incorporating more senses into that healing. It truly makes it more of a full body experience, as it were. And then in conjunction with that, our energy, our thoughts, having the mindset that we are confident in our abilities to be able to help and heal that other person or a region, a community, an environment. So many times I've focused on different areas of the country or the world, whether it be just by focusing on a particular point on a map on my table or looking at a picture of a region and putting my hand over that region and praying and sending energy to that region. There are many ways that we can do this, but the energetic focus and knowing that we have the ability to help and heal others with our minds and being fully confident in that, again, the vibration, putting the intent there, knowing that it will happen, being confident in that, knowing that we can change and affect that environment or that person, and then letting it go to Father, Creator of the universe, and not fixating on it, and not trying to force it to happen sooner. And that's true with any aspect of our lives, whether it be healing or something that we're trying to manifest or something that we want to have happen. Having that positive, joyous, loving, positive vibration just is amazing in itself. And a lot of times that's all we need. But these other things absolutely help and assist us in the healing process and in gaining what it is that we'd like to see positively from a situation. just like with the power of our words, we can desecrate a person with the words that we use and the tone of voice that we utilize. We have, I believe, an even greater potential to heal and to help people with the sounds that we make, with the words that we use, and whether it be a tuning fork, a music bowl, a sound that we make with our tongue up against the roof of our mouth, whether it be a clucking sound or a soothing sound or a cooing sound or a chant, all of these things have such amazing energetic properties. Talked before about the hertzes and the frequencies in the music from different hertzes and how those are so effective. Sound is a beautiful thing. Music, everybody knows how much I love music, but one thing that I'd like everybody maybe to take a moment on and reflect about is, have you ever known anybody that was deaf and wasn't able to recognize the beauty of hearing a loved one's voice or a bird's song in the morning or the ripple of a stream or the miracle of a child's laugh? We really don't recognize sometimes the blessings and the beauty that is bestowed upon us, on every living creature. And we don't always appreciate even what seems insignificant, the beauty of sound, the ability to hear. My heart goes out to those people that don't have that in their lives, the people who are born deaf, or the people that have suffered an injury and as a result have become deaf. And they don't have that beauty anymore. And so as a result, their other senses become more heightened and aware, and they're able to rely and strengthen their other senses and fine-tune those to make up for the lack of sound. And that in itself, the beauty that is there, the fact that Creator, Father, Source, Universe allows the other senses to be able to step in and amp up to make up for the part that they're missing. Just think about how you would feel if you couldn't hear anymore. We don't appreciate as much as I think we could, some of us. Anyway, it's really past the time of a break. I'm going to get to my break right now. The music that's provided is from my good buddy Pat Carr, an amazing original artist from Louisiana. Please check him out. He's on SoundClick. He's on Reverb Nation. He's all over the place. Check out his music. Tell him Maggie sent you and support him. Buy his albums. Maybe just send him a donation if you're able to. I'm sure he'd appreciate that. He's an awesome, awesome guy. You can reach him at http://www.itunes.com/Pat Carr. Also, thank you so much for listening to me on this network. Please support the network in any way that you can. Check out the main page. Check out the other shows. There may be one or several other shows that you may really find interesting to listen to. And just whatever you could do to support the network, we are totally listener funded, would be greatly appreciated. And if you really want to be a superstar and you have your own business that you'd like to promote, please get a hold of the owner. I'm sure that he would love to have you as a sponsor on our station, whether it be for my show or just in general on the network. Also, if you need to get a hold of me, please, if you need some help, I'm here to help. And I enjoy helping others. It's what I do. Get a hold of me at maggie@outlook.com. That's maggie_heart@outlook.com. Let me help you. And let's help each other. We'll be back right after this break. We'll be right back.
take the best thing. Gonna get it from me. I'm gonna love you. I'm gonna give it to you free.
So that was my good buddy Pat Carr, Expect the Best. Please check him out and support him again. And thank you all for joining me for the second half of the Positude Podcast. I am your host, Maggie Hart. The first part of this show, we've been talking about sound healing primarily and different ways to heal with sound, but most particularly with the sound of our voices and how powerful those vibrations can be in our healing journey, and just to soothe others. Our mindset when we heal, both as the healer and as the person being healed, needs to be in a certain space as well. There are some that say if a person does not believe that your methodology of healing is going to be successful, then it won't be. And there is a lot of truth in that. The right side of the brain, the right hemisphere of the brain, is very pertinent when it comes to this. Let me share with you briefly from the book The Survivors Club by Ben Sherwood, The Secrets and Science That Could Save Your Life. He's talking about a guy that did a study with a helmet. And while the guy may or may not be spiritual, he has his own take on the helmet. Let me read to you this short story. Survival Secrets, the God Helmet. If you too want to feel God's presence, you might want to go looking in a dingy basement in the suburbs of Sudbury, Canada, an old mining community in northern Ontario. There you will find Dr. Michael Persinger's neuroscience laboratory. A professor at Laurentian University, Dr. Persinger always dresses in a three-piece suit with a gold watch chain. His daily routine of research, martial arts, food, and sleep is purposefully repetitive and dull, he explains. The steady sameness of his ritual leaves his mind fresh and ready for new ideas. In his underground hideaway, complete with rat, bear, and human brains stored in Tupperware, Persinger's proudest possession resides in room COO2, a soundproof chamber that he once called Muhammad's Cave after the shelter on Mount Hira, where Muslims believe their prophet received his first divine revelations. Persinger's prized object is a yellow helmet rigged with magnets and wires that was created by his longtime college doctor, Dr. Stanley Coren. In a previous incarnation, it was used for riding snowmobiles in this frigid part of the world. Now it's known as the God Helmet. For 25 years, Persinger has blindfolded people, strapped on the yellow headgear, and exposed them to weak electromagnetic fields similar to those generated by cordless phones and computer monitors. He's tested believers, atheists, mystics, even a clairvoyant, and 90% describe experiencing what he calls a sensed presence. If you're a Christian, that means you may feel the closeness of God or even see an apparition of Jesus or Mary. You may also bask in the warm glow of hope, a sense of significance beyond yourself, or even some kind of force that is guiding or reaching out to you. A handful of people detect ghosts and demons, and one person insisted the devil himself had invaded the chamber. If you're a non-believer, you may feel a kind of detachment as if floating. No matter how you describe it, Persinger says, it's all the same. The human brain is the source of all experience. I asked Dr. Persinger in this controversial research, with the yellow helmet, can help explain why so many people in survival situations feel the presence of God. He cuts me off with a burst of answers. In car crashes, earthquakes, and other survival situations, people experience maximum hypervigilance. That means the right hemispheres of their brains are remarkably active. As a consequence, they're likely to experience religious thoughts or feel a presence. Pain stimulates these reactions. So does a lack of oxygen. The more activity in your right hemisphere, the part of your brain that fires under stress and distress, the more likely you'll be aware of some kind of meaningful entity in close proximity. These sensations of a higher power, he says, can inspire people to perform incredible physical acts of strength. And, he says, these thoughts of God or angels can lead people to amazing feats of courage and sacrifice. Working with his loops of wire and magnetic fields, Dr. Persinger has mapped out the specific regions in the right hemisphere of the brain where he says God lives. No matter your religious affiliation or level of belief, or even disbelief, your brain reacts almost identically. What varies is how you describe the sensation. Some people use the language of Christianity or Islam. Others use the vocabulary of Buddhism. Others use the vernacular of the New Age. Your experience, Dr. Persinger says, depends on the activity in the right frontal areas of your brain. During the day, the right hemisphere is less active, but at night while you're sleeping, it takes over. This is where both creativity and dreams originate. It is also the place for muses, spirits, and all things otherworldly. This is God's headquarters, Dr. Persinger says, and if you're fighting for your life in a survival situation, the right side really lights up. The point of his research, he insists, isn't to disprove the existence of a higher power. The God Helmet simply helps pinpoint the spark in your brain where those spiritual, mystical thoughts are born. Well, that's just one study about the right side of the brain and one guy's experiences with it. And, you know, it leads me down a whole rabbit hole of if people who have maybe a damage to the right side hemisphere or an affliction with the right side hemisphere, is that why they may have more spirituality or less spirituality? You may even say no spirituality. Definitely something to think about. However, that's not the end all and be all. I've had a very distinct personal experience with that, where I was actually told that I was crazy by a doctor who ordered me to go see a neurologist because he thought I had some kind of brain tumor or something, because I have healing abilities and intuitive abilities. And as a result, I went through all the testing, and the cardiologist who examined me happened to be a person of faith. And before I even introduced myself, hardly, he put his hand on my chest and told me that I was gifted and that I was helping people and that I was put here for a purpose and all of that. So did he have a right side affliction too? If I go by what the original doctor who told me that I was crazy because I could do these things told me. Not that I think I have a right side affliction, but I was kind of being tongue in cheek there. But there is something to the right side of the brain hemisphere and our, I believe, our how we perceive spirituality, I guess I'd like to say. And I think that's one of those unknown things that, or rather, it's known to the people in charge, but not something that we've been shown or told about. That very well be an area of the brain where we can connect to our higher power, possibly, as well as our pineal gland. There's so much unknown there that is a mystery that, as we go forward, these mysteries, I believe, will be revealed to us, and they may come to some of us in the form of an epiphany or just a spiritual knowledge. But I'm curious about all of that. And I love to learn about different cultures and their thought processes on these things as well. Going back to the book, The Wind Is My Mother, he talks about how he feels about Jesus and healing on several points in the book. But in this particular section, it's chapter 6, Doctoring. How does healing take place? Jesus took some of his disciples to another country where they found people healing the sick, and one of his disciples asked, "How can they do this? They are not one of us." Jesus answered, "Those who are not against us are for us," meaning that if we have a like faith in a central belief system, then we are not against one another. And it is not the people who were doing the healing. The God they called upon was doing the healing. Native people of every continent go through their rituals, shaking gourds, chanting, drumming, dancing, trying to connect with the one that can heal, or who can heal. There are many factors involved, but the belief of the patient also must be there, because that's what initiates the healing process. A man who was born blind was brought to Jesus. The first thing Jesus did was spit on some dirt and put it on those eyes. Then he told the blind man to go and wash in the pool of Siloam. When he did, his eyes opened and he could see again. Where was the healing? Was it in the dirt, in the spit, in the pool? If it was, why don't we make a pilgrimage to that pool now, or use dirt and spit for blind people? Jesus, being the Son of God, had divine powers. He could have commanded those eyes to see again, but he didn't have to go through all those steps, but he did. The placebo effect was taking place. Every step increased the faith of that blind man. This is going to help me. This will do it. 80 or even 90% of that healing came from within the patient. It wasn't the dirt or the spit or the pool. That patient had within himself the necessary power to open the way to make healing a reality. Suppose you had a throbbing headache and I said, "Hold this stick for 2 minutes and your headache will go away." You come from a culture that has to prove everything. This must square with that, so you analyze it as you hold it. What in the world can cure me of my headache? The color here, the kind of wood, the length of the stick? You're still analyzing it, and 2 minutes later you still have that throbbing headache. But let's say you respond with, "You told me that if I hold this, my headache will go away. I'll do it." Finally, 2 minutes pass, and sure enough, your headache is gone. What healed you? Was it the stick, the color, the kind of wood? You had it within you to cure yourself in the first place, and I just pressed a little button for you to make yourself well. Whether it's a physician or a medicine person, a doctor's own energy has a great deal to do with the healing process. You have to believe that the medicine is going to work out the way you're fixing it. There must be no doubt whatsoever. Regarding the chance and the knowledge of herbs that are entrusted into our care, the elders told us that when we're treating a patient, never let doubt come into your mind. This medicine was handed down from generations before us, and it first came from the source of all life. So if you doubt, you're doubting his power. Don't project your own weaknesses, because you're not drawing it from yourself. You're drawing it from a higher being who has all the power necessary to heal. Don't ever think it might help. Think it will. This has helped many people. It's going to help this person. If you have a negative feeling inside, the patient can pick up on that negativity. I don't care how wide the smile is on your face. When you're attending someone who's sick, it's very important, whether you're a medicine person or not, to be a positive force and initiate positive feelings in that other person. Your positive energy must go along with your own belief that this will work the way I'm fixing it. Attitude is part of the medicine, so you must have faith because all medicine comes from the same source. So I agree with most of what Bearhart says, and his statements in his book, The Wind Is My Mother, further serves to support what I've been saying all along, that it's your energetic awareness around the healing, having the right mindset. Also, it's important to note, and this is something that I've talked about, although not recently, the energy and attitude of the healer needs to be very positive at the time. If you're having a bad day, if you're sick, if you're not feeling 100%, you really shouldn't be doing a healing, especially something that's an important healing. You can always send energy, but you shouldn't be doing anything that's really important when you're feeling off and you're not in balance. It's hard for me in familial situations because my family and loved ones are so used to me doing my work. They're like, well, can't you just do this? And how come you can't fix me? And how come you can't heal me? And there are a lot of things involved in that kind of scenario. And I have to feel comfortable with it. I have to be okay with it at the time. It's really important because I want it, mostly because I'm thinking of the other person, I want it to be as effective and as positive as it can be when that situation happens. And I need to be in the right mindset and frame of mind to do that. As does the person being healed in most cases. Spiritual afflictions are a little bit different, but you know, in a case of a physical healing, that person's mindset needs to be at a certain level also. It lends to the success of the healing. So in your personal journeys, these are things that you may consider that will help you. Sound healing, being more cognizant of the words that you use, the energy behind them, the energy that you use when you put those thoughts out there, not only to another individual, but especially to the universe in general. And most especially when you're trying to create the environment that you want. And this is not from a New Age perspective, this is from a spiritual perspective, in that we need to be in the energy of the Father Source, of the Creator Source, and in that essence of love, thankfulness, joyfulness, positivity. We really truly need to be like the Creator in order to be able to do the things that we were told that we could do as a product of the Creator, of the Universal Source. I hope you all enjoyed my show tonight. Thank you all again so much for listening and for supporting me. Thanks for the emails and the different messages that I receive. Please contact me at maggie_hart@outlook.com for all of your needs, or if you just need some advice. And my shows are on different networks now, so wherever you're catching me, thanks for catching me. And please support the network. Have a wonderful week. Do something nice for yourselves and each other. And we'll be back next week. I am so thankful and blessed for each and every one of you.